An exploration of the relational experiences of a parent being diagnosed as autistic after a child's diagnosis with autism. Author Aisling Lally. Volume 9, Issue 2, Spring 2026 of Murmurations, Journal of Transformative Systemic Practice. Abstract. This article is a retelling of the stories emerging from my dissertation research exploring the lived experiences of two autistic parents diagnosed as autistic following their children's diagnoses. In my research, I used Interpretive Phenomenological Analysis, IPA, Smith et al., 2022, to elicit themes which I've used within this piece to frame the stories told by David and Sarah about their experiences. Societal discourses around autism often occur in the context of ideas from a medical model which views autism as a disorder and situates autistic people as having deficits. Such discourses contribute both to the limited literature on autistic parenting lacking attention to the joys and strengths of autistic parents, as well as autistic parents being unfairly judged in the absence of support or understanding of their experiences. Murphy, 2021. This article is a retelling of the stories shared by Sarah and David and their experiences navigating familial and social contexts as newly diagnosed autistic parents. Introduction. This piece is a retelling of the stories shared with me by two autistic adults, David and Sarah, who sought an assessment for autism after their children were confirmed as autistic. Initially, it was a story told by two people I'd worked with as part of the post-diagnostic support offered where I work as an occupational therapist. At the same time, it was a story told by two participants in a research study in partial fulfillment of a systemic psychotherapy master's course. Now, 1 year on, I'm sharing David and Sarah's stories along with ideas which emerged from our conversations together about how I practice and how services could support autistic people and their families. As you can see, the story in its telling changes with time and perspective. This is in keeping with several of the themes which emerged. Sarah shares how decisions around disclosing she's autistic are changed by timing, when is too soon and when is too late. David shares how the timing of his diagnosis enables new meaning of his childhood experiences and his understanding of his own experiences of being parented and being a parent in differing social contexts. A thread running through the experiences of David and Sarah after diagnosis was the relationship of diagnosis to experiences of stigma. Sarah and David spoke of stigma in terms of how their diagnosis might relate to how they are viewed as parents and as professionals should they disclose. I write this article and share this story from the perspective of having become a mother for the second time recently. I've thought about disclosure and how disclosures of diagnoses or aspects of self impacted the way in which I can be seen as a mother over the last 9 months and a myriad of appointments. It has led me back to thinking about Sarah and David and how their diagnoses mediate how they are seen in relation to their parenting role. It leads me again and again to think about those aspects of self which are visible and invisible and which impact how power is shared in any relationship. For David and Sarah and other autistic parents, they've chosen to seek an assessment for an often invisible aspect of self, autism. Once the diagnosis is confirmed, they've both navigated contexts and made decisions about whether to voice their autistic identity and considered how this impacted their own and their family's experiences. Autism is recognised as hereditable, which suggests that parents and children sharing the experience of autism is common. Whilst the impact of a parent's diagnosis is believed to have wide-ranging impacts for a family, there is little written about these experiences. Reference The Guardian 2021, Smith and Hopper 2023. What parents hope for when seeking this assessment and what this diagnosis means to them in terms of the relationship to their autistic child and more broadly has not been well explored. In recent years, autistic parents in the public eye, such as Christine McGuinness and Melanie Sykes, have shared their experience of learning they were autistic after their children's diagnoses. Slowly, stories of autistic parents are being heard and shared. Reference The Mirror 2023, The Sun 2021. Through my work in an adult neurodevelopmental service, I have witnessed the stories of many newly diagnosed autistic people and recognised the multiplicity of responses to adult diagnosis in keeping with the literature. Reference Ledham et al. 2020. I found myself particularly interested in the experiences of adults who cited referrals reasons for referral statements such as child diagnosed, see similarities, or recognizes self. These sparse descriptors give little information on how a person has come to make meaning of their burgeoning recognition of their autistic self in their witnessing of their child's autistic self. What it means to be autistic will be different for each autistic person and made meaning of in their relationships with families, friends, and community contexts. The beliefs and values which family members hold around autism will impact how a child makes meaning of being autistic. I'm curious then how autism is made meaning of in the relationships an autistic parent has to their autistic child. I hold multiple relationships to this exploration, and I'm conscious of tensions held in these positions. As a neurodivergent but non-autistic parent to an autistic child, I hold both insider and outsider perspective on the experiences shared by participants, reference Green, 2014. I identify as neurodivergent primarily due to being dyspraxic. I also resonate with the experience of parenting an autistic child and of going through the diagnostic process for a child and the hopes and fears this process can evoke. While these are connections I hold to Sarah and David, there is also difference. I'm not autistic, and I recognise that the name of a person as autistic, and particularly a parent as autistic, has an impact when engaging with services. The stigma and exclusion which autistic people can face in society and the poor experiences of autistic parents are well documented. Reference Murphy, 2021, Paul et al, 2020. As a non-autistic researcher, I recognise my outside position in exploring the experience of autistic people. I take as an important ethical position the call for research around autism to centre and privilege the voices of autistic people, reference Simon et al, 2020. Ideally, this research would have been co-produced with autistic researchers, and whilst this wasn't possible within the limitations of a master's dissertation, in writing these articles, I centre the stories of two autistic parents. David and Sarah responded to an invite sent through purposive sampling in the adult assessment team I worked within. Ethical approval for the research was gained from both my university and the NHS. Completing research with people I previously had a therapeutic relationship with and who had access to service I worked in held complexities. Rather than the attempt to overcompensate for the complexities of researching within one's own organisation, HELPS, 2017, argued for being overt about these complexities and taking ownership of biases that emerge in the research process. This was the stance I took throughout. I share here some broadened demographic information about David and Sarah. All family member names are pseudonymized to maintain anonymity. As David's preferred autism descriptor is, quote, have ASD, end quote, this will be utilized in results and discussions relating to his experience. Table 1. Demographic information of participants. Sarah. Age, early 50s. Gender, female. Ethnicity, white British. Shares parenting, also autistic? Yes. With ex-partner, not autistic. Preferred autism descriptor, autistic. Children, Ella and William, both teenage. William diagnosed as autistic in primary school. David, age, late 40s. Gender, male. Ethnicity, white British. Shares parenting, also autistic? Yes. With wife, Emily, does not have ASD. Preferred autism descriptor, have ASD. Children, three children all under 10, in order of age, Luke, Jack and Olivia. Luke diagnosed as having ASD in primary school. David and Sarah engaged in semi-structured interviews held in non-clinical environments to boundary the changed relationship we now shared from clinician and client to researcher and participant. The interview questions were sent to both in advance to increase the accessibility and predictability of the interview experience. Themes which emerged from our interviews together were analysed using the stages of IPA analysis, Smith et al. 2022, and are named in Table 2 and then used as headings to share David and Sarah's stories. Table 2. Themes emerging following IPA analysis. Group experiential themes. 1. Assessment is exploratory and takes place in context of challenge. Subthemes. Hope for a way forward. Exploration of self in dialogue with others. Formalised assessment as, quote, solid ground. 2. Impact of diagnosis. Subthemes. Relationship to time. Wide-ranging unforeseen relational impact. Catalyst to changed familial expectations. 3. Multiple meanings of diagnosis. Subthemes. Something concrete, weighing up. 4. Disclosure and stigma. Subthemes. Diagnosis used to, quote, put in a box. Disclosure is storied by timing. Autistic experiences storied by societal context. Subthemes. A battle that wounds a parent. Holding multiple relations to autism, quote, a good and a bad thing. Advice to services. Assessment is exploratory and takes place in the context of challenge. Assessment for Sarah and David was sought following deliberation and in the context of distress. Diagnosis was seen as the beginning, and whether diagnosed or not, they hoped assessment would provide clarity. For both, this was something unobtainable through self-identification. Hope for a way forward. Assessment was sought in the context of emotional challenges. Sarah hoped that she could, quote, find out a little bit about how I was feeling, and yeah, why I was feeling that, and what I could do about it, end quote. There was a sense that autism may or may not be part of this larger exploration of her emotional experiences, and the assessment would, quote, almost like either tick it in or tick it off, end quote. Exploration of self in dialogue with others. Prior to seeking assessment, both had discussed their experiences with others. David had conversations around his son's diagnosis of autism and with his mother about his father. Quote, I started to think my father may have fallen into that category, and so there's my father, there's Luke, and then there's me, and maybe it's worth looking into this a bit more, end quote. It was a friend's observations of William being, quote, quite a handful, end quote, that prompted Sarah to rethink her parenting experiences. Quote, I hadn't really thought at all that it was perhaps a bit harder than other people, so that's what got me thinking, because I just thought it was just normal, end quote. Relationships with family or friends appear significant in reflecting or validating what experiences may not be typical. I was struck that without relationships to explore experiences within, difference can feel unknowable. Formalised assessment as, quote, solid ground, end quote. David hoped diagnosis would, quote, provide a route forward to actually do something. If it was just a tick in the box, I wouldn't have bothered, end quote. For Sarah, there was a belief that diagnosis enabled, quote, targeted support rather than just trying to, like, fish around. David spoke of being put in a box once diagnosed. The nature of this box was limiting, but I was struck by the contrast between fishing around, a phrase which evoked a sense of searching in a vast space, and being placed in a box, something with clear parameters. I am conscious that vast spaces can feel both freeing and overwhelming, whilst a box can feel both limiting and containing. Impact of diagnosis. Despite the thoughtfulness they brought to seek an assessment, both the positive and negative impacts of diagnosis were unexpected, which made the positive ones seem more joyful and the negative ones more painful. Relationship to time. The experience of diagnosis is impacted by the time in which it is received and evokes a changing story of past and future. David describes a multitude of positions and times his diagnosis prompted him to consider. Himself as a child, himself as a parent, his parents as parents to him as a child, his child as an adult. Diagnosis provided a sense of meaning. Quote, it's suddenly that all of these sharp things which don't make sense and don't fit, suddenly they all fit together and you can draw a line between them and start making sense of what's going on and it's not random anymore. End quote. Time also featured in terms of the context in which experiences of diagnosis took place. David shared how with diagnosis had come an empathy for his mother, raising him as a child without diagnosis, and as a wife to a husband who David believes also had ASD. Quote, understanding some of the challenges I've had and how she's been trying to deal with it, particularly in the context of an environment then which didn't acknowledge any of these things, didn't understand any of these things, in which there was zero support, I think I can have a lot more sympathy for some of the decisions she's made. End quote. Sarah's changing perspective to past experiences following diagnosis evoked distressing emotions. Quote, it makes you question every single life choice you made because of the sort of the domino effect that one choice was this, this, and this now. If I'd been healthier in a certain time, like mentally, and perhaps been more aware of myself, would I have made that choice? End quote. This impact was quite different from the experience of being a parent to a child being diagnosed as, quote, you're looking back, and with a child, you're not, end quote. The power of the lens of diagnosis was mediated by the perspective of time. Wide-ranging, unforeseen relational impact. The shared experience of ASD means David understands his son in a different way, and sharing this has a positive effect for the family. Quote, that helps Emily in terms of how to manage them and also reassures her there is not something she's doing wrong. And it also helps when Luke's upset about something. I can talk to him and say, no, I do understand. And I can. It really does help. End quote. Sarah's diagnosis has increased her confidence in her sense of knowing William. Quote, I think I've always felt like I've understood him. And I feel we've always had that. And perhaps now I see why we've always had that. End quote. Catalyst to change familial expectations. Sarah re-evaluated her relationship to social norms after diagnosis, which changed how she parented. Quote, I say you don't have to agree. You have to just think before you say yes. And then say, actually, I'm not going. And that's all right not to do it. But it's just learning. And I'm just learning that as well. And that's through my diagnosis, you know, not saying yes to everything. End quote. Multiple meanings of diagnosis. Both felt that confirmation through professional diagnosis validated their autistic experience. This had benefits and drawbacks. They considered the drawbacks and reflected on whether they would recommend assessment. Something concrete. For Sarah, diagnosis meant, quote, not second-guessing, end quote, reflecting that with a diagnosis, quote, I can adjust or think about things from that, and that's black and white, that's concrete, and I can then use that, end quote. When David reconsidered his relationship to autism, it was with hope diagnosis could be useful, quote, it might not just be a random fact, it might be something meaningful, might be actually real, and might be something useful to understand rather than just a box ticked, end quote. Weighing up. Although David had anticipated some of the challenges of diagnosis, some surprised him. In considering if he would recommend accessing formalised assessment to another parent of an autistic child, he reflected, quote, I would have to say to any parent there are benefits, but be very aware of what those negatives are and make sure you weigh those up before you get yourself a label, which almost certainly will be used against you, end quote. Sarah spoke of the challenging emotional impact of diagnosis, wanting others to understand that a diagnosis would have an impact because, quote, it's telling you about something quite fundamental about yourself, end quote. I was conscious listening to Sarah of the depth of regret and pain diagnosis had evoked. It surprised me that Sarah still felt pursuing diagnosis was worthwhile. Whilst painful feelings at earlier life choices were intensified by diagnosis, they predated diagnosis, and being diagnosed autistic gave a degree of explanation for them, which Sarah found helpful. Quote, I could maybe understand a bit more, which does help. End quote. Disclosure and stigma. Both found diagnosis created challenging experiences around disclosure. Whilst formalised diagnosis has brought certainty for both, it came with a risk when autism was related to in a more solidified manner. For both, autism became a concrete concept, which led to definitive, often negative, ideas of what it means to be autistic. Diagnosis used to put, quote, in a box, end quote. David frequently used the image of a box. I noticed his frustration when talking about the box and was conscious that it evoked a sense of constriction in me. David spoke of how his diagnosis was used against him when trying to access support for his son from services. Quote, the fact that I had ASD was just another thing they could use against us, end quote. He had, quote, anticipated that people might put me in a box, end quote, but had not anticipated the experience with accessing services for his son or other implications in his work and personal life. Disclosure is storied by timing. Sarah's experience of disclosure for herself and William is storied by her regret at sharing her diagnosis immediately after diagnosis. The lack of space to make meaning in the, quote, quite cold and abrupt, end quote, diagnostic process left Sarah seeking opportunities for connection through disclosure, which she deeply regretted. Quote, my, brackets, boss, rang me about something and I blurted it out to her. I think it might even have been the same day. I definitely wish I hadn't said that, end quote. Sarah has become more tentative about disclosure, which is an added pressure. Quote, sometimes I think I'll tell people, and then I'll think people might say that, when did you get the diagnosis? And then I don't know what to say then, because if I say like a couple of years ago, they'll be like, well, why didn't you tell me earlier? End quote. David now avoids disclosure, quote, unless there was a really strong reason to do so, end quote, and considers the stigmatizing impact disclosure may have in different contexts, quote, anything they could use against me. Oh, David is saying this because he's in this box and it would be used to devalue what I say, end quote. Sarah's own experience of diagnosis came after William's, but before she shared his diagnosis with him. Quote, I spent quite a long time thinking about how to speak to him about his diagnosis and all of that, but I think if I hadn't had the experience, or if I wasn't autistic, and he said to me, can I tell people, I would have been like, oh yeah, that's, you know, well, liberal-like, but then that really helped me, thinking it's okay to share, but when you've shared, you cannot take it back, end quote. I was conscious that unlike their parents, William and Luke were too young to be involved in the decision-making around seeking assessment. Sarah and David had both experienced unanticipated challenging impacts from their own diagnosis, and I'm curious if this, together with the parental responsibility of seeking assessment, places a greater pressure on them. For David and Sarah, the shared experience of autism with their children seems to act as a motivator to reduce the risk of stigmatization for them. Autistic experiences storied by societal context. Both access their own and their children's assessment through NHS services. David also sought specialist educational provision for his son, while Sarah works professionally with other families with autistic members. These contexts impacted their experience of being autistic. A battle that wounds a parent. David spoke of engaging in legal battles to get suitable provision for his son. Quote, "Everyone ends up having to make hard decisions. There's massive stress being told you're lying." End quote. It felt important to be transparent about our shared experience as parents accessing support for our children, and I asked David if a strong sense of right and wrong, often attributed to people with ASD, helped in this process. He said it was his wife and his educational and occupational resources that helped and reflected, quote, "When it comes to actually fighting it, having a strong sense of right and wrong is beside the point," end quote. He reflected it could make for a harder experience, quote, "If we hadn't won, then I would have found that incredibly difficult, and really, I would have struggled not to let that sense of injustice really burn and get at me and feel completely powerless to do anything about it. So yeah, if anything, having ASD makes it even worse to be in that position," end quote. I later reflected on my sadness that the strong sense of right and wrong I observe as a beauty of autism could be so painful. The privileges of economic status and education were clear. Like me, David had the power of education and financial safety to challenge a system. The idea of burning injustice that David shared has stayed with me when I meet autistic parents without those powers, intersecting oppressions of ableism and capitalism writ large. Holding multiple relations to autism, quote, "a good and a bad thing," end quote. Sarah and I both work in services supporting autistic people and our parents to autistic children, but for her, there is the additional context of being autistic. When asked about whether she had any worries about seeking assessment, quote, "I think my only worry was that people would think that I was just one of the, that person that just wanted, like, diagnosis for my kids. Oh God, like, she's one of those that just needs, like, some sort of diagnosis for everyone in her family," end quote. Advice to services. Sarah encouraged professionals to think about the context of an adult and the responsibilities they may have when sharing a diagnosis. Quote, "It's just thinking about how you speak to someone, you know, and the impact that's going to have, and then they still have to make tea in like an hour," end quote. She suggested to share the diagnosis in a manner they would share a diagnosis with a family. Quote, "I don't think it would have been the same conversation with a family. So it's almost like if you're talking to a family, talk to an individual adult as if you were talking to a family," end quote. Sat in Sarah's lounge, I had the sense of her receiving her diagnosis online and the loneliness as the call ended. Her call for professionals to talk to an adult as if talking to a family is a wish to be seen in a relational context. In this dialogue, I see a request to be seen as a person outside of a diagnostic process, for whom the diagnostic process will have emotional implications. The experiences of othering were evident as both argued for a move away from stigma that means that autistic people are, quote, lumped together, unquote. David encouraged people working with autistic adults to, quote, understand the benefits of it. Don't try and lump everyone. You cease to be individual. You start to become this. This is the cheat sheet for people who go in their box, end quote. Sarah reflected on her workplace where nobody knows she's autistic. Quote, "When people talk, they never think that there'll be people there who are autistic. And it's almost like it's one of those professional things that other people go through," end quote. To move away from othering, Sarah encouraged those working with parents of autistic children. Quote, "When you're talking to a parent, just have at the back of your head, almost assume that they are autistic, because then the way that you're going to talk to them is not going to impact if they're not autistic, but actually is just more inclusive," end quote. Reflections on my changing relationship to practice. Although this article is about the experience of just two people, and therefore it would be inappropriate to make generalizations about the experience of all parents diagnosed as autistic after their child, I'm keenly aware of the richness of the stories shared by David and Sarah, and conscious how the immersion in them during the analysis process allowed me to engage with this detail and depth and reflect on my clinical practice. I went into the research open to exploration of what the experience of diagnosis was like for parents, but I held ideas about these experiences. I was aware of the stigma and discrimination autistic parents experience, but I had less of a sense of how that ableism was experienced. Sarah is privy to biases held around autistic people in her workplace, and her knowledge of this reinforces her decision to not disclose her diagnosis. For David, formalised diagnosis had emotionally and relationally widened his experiences, by financially and occupationally risk narrowing his experiences. Hayden Laurelette, reference 2016, page 223, stated that while diagnosis often brought about, quote, initial relief, end quote, over time, this relief was subsumed by new questions and problems within the context of a new identity as an autistic person. He argues that those who diagnose may not see this later experience as they do not work with people longer term, which means ideas about the impact of diagnosis are biased. I'm struck how this fits with my experience. I often see the initial response to receiving a diagnosis, but I'm less likely to see the long-term experience of diagnosis. There is a risk that my understanding of the impact of diagnosis may be biased towards people's experience in their first year post-diagnosis. There is also a risk that at later times when, like David, people are experiencing ableism in response to their disclosure, or, like Sarah, grappling with how to share their diagnosis, there is a lack of therapeutic spaces for people to explore these dilemmas. I've worked to take a strengths-based approach to autism in my work, consciously agitating against the, quote, impairment, end quote, medicalized focus which can dominate service provision, reference Huntley et al. 2019. I thought I held this approach lightly, still recognizing the challenges that can be experienced by autistic people. This research led me to re-examine my relationship to autism. In my effort to counter the dominant impairment discourse, I at times lacked nuance in how I viewed strengths. Naming something as a strength or a challenge of autism creates a false binary. How an aspect of autistic experience feels varies depending on context. Heightened auditory sensitivity may be a strength for an orchestral conductor at work, but a challenge at a rush hour underground station. This relates to the idea of multispectral living, reference Urbistander, Cano and Simon, 2022, with autistic experiences viewed not as rigid, but responsive to the context a person moves through. This was clear in the exploration of having a strong sense of right and wrong with David in the study. I may relate to this as an autistic strength, but when met with injustice and imbalance of power, a strength becomes a painful challenge. Hayden Lorillette, 2016, page 230, stated, a diagnostic frame foregrounds the individual's ASC characteristics as the highest context marker through which life events and difficulties are then viewed, end quote, with all other contexts and stories of the person, quote, subjugated, end quote. A framework can cause a person's unique stories to be subjugated. However, it can also, as David shared, enable valuable sense-making of experiences that previously felt random. Both David and Sarah weighed up the benefits and challenges of diagnosis with hindsight and asserted that they would recommend an autism assessment to another parent of an autistic child. Simultaneously, however, in keeping with Murphy, 2021, both had experienced judgment. David's diagnosis was explicitly blamed for the challenges his autistic son was experiencing in school. Zach's, 2010, spoke of how historically society had placed shame and guilt on parents of autistic children. David's experience shows that society continues to place shame and guilt on parents of autistic children, and for autistic parents this is amplified. Both participants were white British people, and although demographics on education and class were not collected, both described working in professional careers. Many parents of children with a disability have had to give up or reduce their working hours, and increasingly families where a child has a disability are experiencing high levels of financial pressure, reference Contact 2024. Families from minoritized communities who have autistic children experience additional barriers to accessing assessment, diagnoses, and supports from professionals working with their children and wider community networks, reference Parapa et al. 2023. I'm curious, given the level of stigma both Sarah and David reported, what stories around disclosure and oppression may have emerged for people with other intersecting experiences, such as poverty or racism, particularly recently as societal discourses around migration, nationality, and financial support of those with disabilities have become increasingly amplified in the UK. One of the aspects of David and Sarah's story which stayed with me was how the impact of diagnosis was mediated by their age of diagnosis and by the timings of diagnosis and disclosure. Whilst offering spaces to explore the impact of diagnosis for autistic people and their families immediately post-diagnosis is essential, their experiences highlighted the importance of creating these spaces later when people may experience challenges around disclosure or stigma. I believe family therapists are well placed to create spaces to explore how sharing an autistic identity or disclosing diagnosis is enacted and storied in relationships. The idea of disclosing too soon or too late, shared by Sarah, shows a clear need for these spaces to be offered not at fixed points post-diagnosis, but when needed by an autistic person and their family. A stronger relational focus in diagnostic services and consideration of the impact of diagnosis for the individual and the individual in their relational context is needed. Dugdale et al., 2021, argue a family-based approach was made more difficult in NHS settings where adult and children services are separate. They argued for, quote, consideration of the family unit as a whole and the dual impact of a parent and child being diagnosed autistic, end quote, page 1980. The difficulties of accessing support and the lack of recognition by professionals of a family as a holistic system is a repeated theme in the literature. Reference Marriott et al. 2022, Murphy 2021. Sarah spoke of a diagnosis sharing something fundamental about a person, yet the lack of consideration of how that would be experienced by an adult. Her call to, quote, talk to individual adults as if talking to family, to me, is an argument for services to utilise a systemic approach in all work with autistic people and their families. Services which work with autistic people across the lifetime and therefore could support autistic children and their autistic parents would eliminate the false individualistic dichotomy propagated through the separation of children and adults' neurodevelopmental services. Conclusion. Pearce and Cronin, 1980, assert that we give meaning to our experiences in conversations with others. Discord emerges in communications when communicators lack coherence in how they make meaning. The experience of being autistic is, at its core, a relational experience. In diagnosing autism, a framework is given to explain a person's experience of the world. David and Sarah spoke about the positive impacts of this framework in their lives. It changed their understanding of both past and present relationships to others. Sarah encouraged clinicians to share a diagnosis with an adult as if sharing with a family. As I come to the end of this work, I believe that a diagnosis is given to a family. One person being named as autistic changes the relational context for others in the family. There are changes in how autistic parents parent their autistic children, what they teach them of the world, as well as the connection of the shared autistic experience. Alongside these changes are experiences of ableism and oppression which have practical implications for autistic people and their families. Autistic parents experiencing this ableism have the additional demand of trying to support their autistic children to live in a world that others them. Families with autistic members are engaging with a range of services, and there is evidence of stigmatizing discourses around autism in each of these. Whilst previous literature has called for increased training for professionals around autism, and particularly the need for recognition that parents of autistic children may also be autistic, I feel a primary focus of training needs to be around developing anti-oppressive practices when working with autistic people and their families. Tackling attitudes such as those experienced by David when accessing support for his son is vital so that services are accessible and just in supporting autistic people across the lifespan. I found myself weighing up the benefits and risks of diagnosis with the hindsight Sarah and David shared. I returned to my curiosity about why autistic parents might seek formalised diagnosis rather than self-identify given the impact of diagnosis. At times, I found myself questioning diagnostic frameworks given the risk of diagnosis backgrounding aspects of who a person is outside of their diagnosis. Whilst I firmly believe we need to prepare families more thoroughly for the experience of diagnosis and offer therapeutic spaces to explore the lived experience of ableism, the relational benefits diagnosis brings to families like David and Sarah's shows me that for some autistic people, formalised diagnosis is imperative to their and their family's well-being. My role as an ally to autistic people and as a systemic therapist should be then to interrogate and disrupt the ableism and stigma experienced by autistic people and their families and provide therapeutic spaces to bear witness to both the challenges and joys of autistic parents and their autistic children. References. Contact. 2024. Counting the Cost Survey 2024, 4th of December 2024. https://contact.org.uk/help-4-families/campaigns-and-research/counting-the-costs. Dugdale, Amber Sophie, Thompson, Andrew R., Liedem, Alexandra, Beale, Nigel, and Freeth, Megan, 2021. Intense Connection and Love, The Experiences of Autistic Mothers, Autism 25-7, 1973-1984. https://doi.org/10.1177/1362-361-321-1005. Guardian, 2021. A lot fell into place. The adults who discovered they were autistic after their children were diagnosed with autism. 16th of December 2021. https://www.theguardian.com/society/2021/December/16/adults-discovered-autistic-child-diagnosed-autism. Green, Melanie J., 2014. On the Inside Looking In, Methodological Insights and Challenges in Conducting Qualitative Insider Research. The Qualitative Report. 19(20)(1-13). https://doi.org/10.46743/2160-3715/2014.1106. Hayden Lorlett Mark, 2016, Critical Systemic Therapy, Autism Stories and Disabled People with Learning Difficulties in Rethinking Autism Diagnosis, Identity and Equality. Runs with Cole Catherine, Marlage, Rebecca and Timimi Sami, Editors. London, Jessica Kingsley Publishers. Helps Sarah, 2017, The Ethics of Researching One's Own Practice, Journal of Family Therapy, 39, 348-365. https://doi.org/10.1111/1467-6427.12166. Huntley, M.K., Black, M.H., Jones, Faulkner, M., Lee, E.A.L., Tan, T., Pison, T., Thompson, M., New, M., Heisman, B., Smith, E., Bolter, S., and Girdler, S., 2019. Autistica Action Briefing, Strengths-Based Approaches. https://www.autistica.org.uk/downloads/files/final-strengths-based-approaches-actionbriefing.pdf. Latham, Alexandra, Thompson, Andrew R., Smith, Richard, and Freeth, Megan, 2020. I was exhausted trying to figure it out. The experiences of females receiving an autism diagnosis in middle to late adulthood. Autism, 24(1). 135-146. https://doi.org/10.1177/1362-361-319-85-3442. Marriott, Elise, Stacey, James, Hewitt, Olivia, Maria, and Buchel, Nienka, E., 2022. Parenting an Autistic Child, Experiences of Parents with Significant Autistic Traits. Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders, 52(7), 3182-3193. https://doi.org/10.1007/S10803-021-05182-7. The Mirror, 2023. My son's diagnosis saved my life because I too had symptoms I didn't recognize. 18th of May, 2023. https://www.mirror.co.uk/news/health/my-sons-diagnosis-saved-life-29875437. Murphy Shona, 2021. The Pros and Cons of Being an Autistic Parent. Good Autism Practice. GAP. 22(1), 87-96. https://www.ingentaconnect.com/content1/build/gap/2021/00000000022/00000021/art0009. Pierce, W. Barnett, and Cronin, Vernon E., 1980, Communication, Action, and Meaning, The Creation of Social Realities, New York, Prager. Perpa, Prithi, Wallace, Simon, and Goldberg, Karen, 2023, The Experiences of Marginalized Family with Autistic Children, Birmingham, University of Birmingham. Paul, A.L., Crockford, S.K., Blakemore, M., Allison, C., and Baron Cohen, S., 2020, A Comparative Study of Autistic and Non-Autistic Women's Experiences of Childhood, Molecular Autism, 11(3), 1-12, https doi.org/10.1186/S13229-019-0304-2. Simon, Gail, Mary, Evans, Urbistando, Cano, Francisco, Help, Sarah, L, and Vlam, Ingres, 2020. Autism and Systemic Family Therapy in the Handbook of Systemic Family Therapy, Volume 4, 1st edition. Wampler, Karen S., Rastogi, Medita, and Singh, Renee, editors. New Jersey, Wiley, Blackwell. Smith, Simone, and Hopper, Jeremy, 2023. Love, Joy, and a Lens of Childhood Trauma. Exploring factors that impact the mental health and well-being of autistic parents via iterative phenomenological analysis. Autism and Adulthood, 5:1, 63-75. https://doi.org/10.1089/alt.2021.001. Smith, Jonathan A., Flowers, Paul, and Larkin, Michael, 2022. Interpretive Phenomenological Analysis, Theory, Method, and Research. 3rd edition, London, Sage. The Sun, 2021. Why didn't I realize? We were diagnosed autistic after our kids, like Melanie Sykes and Christine McGuinness. 19th of November, 2021. https://www.thesun.co.uk/fabulous/16791841/adult-autism-diagnosis-melanie-sykes-christine-mcguinness. Urbistando, Cano, Francesco, and Simon, Gale. 2022. From Autism Spectrum to Multispectral Living. Murmurations. Journal of Transformative Systemic Practice. 4:2, 101-147. https://doi.org/10.28963/4.2.8. Zaks, Sosha, 2010. I have Asperger's Syndrome and I am a parent. Disability Studies Quarterly, 30:1. https://doi.org/10.18061/dsq.v30i1.1057. About the author. Ashing Lally is a family and systemic psychotherapist based in an NHS service in London. She works alongside autistic adults and adults who've been diagnosed with a learning disability and their families and wider systems. She is immensely grateful to Sarah and David for sharing their time, experiences, and stories. Citation, Lally, Ashling, 2025. An exploration of the relational experiences of a parent being diagnosed as autistic after a child's diagnosis with autism. Murmurations, Journal of Transformative Systemic Practice, 9:2, 10-22. https://doi.org/10.28963/9.2.2.